Chief, item number three, report and possible discussion on investment. Officers report our first quarter fiscal year 2013 by John Hall, Chief Financial Officer.
Yes, this is another non-action item, just like the previous one. Again, we're, as you remember, we bring this to each quarter. This is required under the Public Funds Investment Act to actually report to the quarter the, our investment portfolio, which we provide to you in detail in your materials. This is just a summary of it that I mention each time. You can see sort of the trend of the book value. Now, this includes both restricted and unrestricted funds. A minute ago, the schedule I showed you had 69 made was just unrestricted funds. This is, includes restricted funds, which include bond proceeds or debt service reserve funds or monies we hold for some of our water customers and the like and stuff. So you can see that end of November was about $102 million, roughly what it was in the previous, at the end of the previous quarter. Sort of the significant thing in this particular quarter is our yield to maturity dropped. And you can see it has been going down a little bit over the last couple of years, but in sort of a fairly small manner from about 100 basis points down to 90, upper 80s or 90 basis points is where it's been. And this is a pretty significant drop in this at the end of this particular quarter. And the reason for that is we had a significant number of certificates of deposit that matured in this quarter, again in the September, October, November timeframe, and the reinvestment of those funds in the new certificates of deposit, which was still the best investment we could do under our Public Funds Investment Act requirements, unfortunately was a significantly lower rate of return. Some of those, the majority of those, I think the average for the CDs that matured was well over 1%, well not well over, but somewhat over 1% was what was maturing. Unfortunately, our reinvestment was about half that. Was, you know, maybe 60 basis points on average or a little more than that. So that's what brought the average yield to maturity down a little bit more than it had in the past, down to the 70 basis points where we are. So, you know, it's still a terrific struggle to try to get much return. I think we're doing a really good job given the you know, the requirements and things and the need for security that we have in our investments, but this environment is unprecedented, obviously, as far as low rates and such. And, oh yes.
Can you remind me again what the restrictions are under the Public Investments Act on what we can and can't do?
Well, there's some authorized investments that they offer. Most of it all involves items, and Susan can speak to it in detail. And in fact, the next agenda item is the investment policy itself, which has all of those authorized investments listed in it that y'all are going to be asked to basically reapprove, which you're asked each year. But basically, they're investments where the principal is really at little to no risk. I mean, you have to invest in things where there's treasuries, agencies, collateralized securities of deposit, and various other types of investments that have virtually no risk of losing the principal of those investments. Those being the case, that has, you know, in this environment, has very little opportunity to get a very significant return, so there's not much risk associated with it. Yes, sir?
John, what's the average maturity on those CDs now? Do you have a number?
The entire portfolio is about 9 months.
9 months?
Mm-hmm. It's pretty short. Yeah. We did buy some that are a little bit longer out in this because we felt like that made sense, that was up to 2 years, but the average is a lot less than that. So we do try to ladder it out there a little bit to get some benefit. I mean, as you all know, our banking relationship is with BBVA Compass, and when we entered that relationship, that was a new relationship a year ago, one of the things they offered us for our savings account, which is a liquidity account, it's an account that we can, that is daily, the money's available daily, is 20 basis points over LIBOR. And that is, LIBOR has been roughly 20 basis points itself somewhere in the last year or so. So that's been about a 40 basis point investment has been what we get on the day on from just daily investment. So that becomes to some extent our benchmark of what to look at and try to determine, because we know we can get, now that could change, as LIBOR changes, that can change. So you can see we're a little bit above that. And frankly, that's a whole lot better. One of the things I mentioned before, other public entities, a lot of them invest in tech pool in the state pool, Well, the state pool this morning is, what, it's probably under 10 basis points? It's been under 10 basis points, I think.
Seven
basis points is the state pool. And a whole lot of public entities put a lot of their money in that. We have virtually no money in that because there's no advantage to doing that, given that we can get 40 basis points that are collateralized. By the way, those are collateralized funds. So they're protected. The BBVA puts up, actually they put up a letter of credit is what they do with the Federal Home Loan Bank in Atlanta to secure those funds. Any other questions about that? What I'd like to do now is introduce Susan Anderson. Susan is with Valley View Consulting. You all have seen Susan before. They help us with our investment analysis. And Susan's going to take just a few minutes to go over I asked her to come here about twice a year to just sort of do a little bit of economic overview.
Right. Good morning again. Susan Anderson with Valley View Consulting. A lot of good questions this morning about the investments, and we're trying our best to get those investment rates up, but really being constrained by what's going on in the economy. Next slide. This report is a little more upbeat than it was about 6 months ago. 6 months ago, we were in the throes of the political campaign, and the impact of the campaign was it was serving to really depress consumers. It sounded like the wheels were about to come off the car if you listened every night to it. And now we've kind of gone through this. December felt a little bit like we were walking a higher wire without a safety net because of the fiscal cliff debate that was going on. That impacted consumers pretty significantly during the holiday buying season. We came into the holiday buying season with high hopes that things were really going to look robust, and we were slightly disappointed in that. So a lot of the retailers were feeling a little bit of the impact of the debate going on. But when you look underneath all of that, the economy is getting stronger. One of the things that has been a major surprise to us is the housing indicator. Housing, as you know, pulled this whole economy down and brought us to levels that we really have not seen in many, many decades. So we thought that housing had so far to go that it would never be that sector that would start to bring us back into a healthy situation. And in fact, it is turning the corner and becoming pretty robust out there. And if you layer over that the situation that many are finding that banks are not freely loaning money for home purchases, it's pretty amazing that the housing sector is as healthy as it is. We've seen the existing home sales pretty much go through the roof. This last report that came out for December showed a decline in the number of sales. However, the reason that was noted that the sales were down is because there's not enough inventory. There's only about 4 months worth of inventory out there, where a normal situation you see about six. So that's good news from our standpoint. You've also seen employment continuously add jobs, although not nearly so much as what we'd like to see. We have an employment number coming out on Friday for the December situation, and we would expect, the economists are expecting 175,000 jobs to be added, which sounds like a big number. But when you look at the situation, we need at least 250,000 to 300,000 jobs added per month to really consider ourselves way down the road to recovery. So the economy's still a little bit fragile. As we saw in December, there are things that can take us from growth to starting to falter a little bit. But we think all in that things are going to be improving. Now, what that means to you, though, the economy has to improve for a long period of time before you're going to see the Fed start to raise interest rates, the short-term interest rates particularly, which are the rates that impact your portfolio. So we're looking probably another year, year and a half for any move by the Fed to move those interest rates further. So it's going to continue to be a challenge to find interest rates that look very attractive. Next slide, please. This is the graph that we brought to you 6 months ago, and it shows GDP, gross domestic product. This is the indicator of what's being produced in the United States domestically. And you can see that we were not doing all that well through the first part of 2012. However, third quarter of 2012, we saw a big surge. It went up to about 3.1%. During December, we had the economists come out. The Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia produces these numbers. Again, we were going through late 2012 when the height of all of the fiscal cliff debate was going on, and you can see that the estimates have ratcheted down pretty significantly, mainly because of that debate. Now, since we're a little bit down the road from that, it's possible that when they come out with their February update for this, that things might improve a little bit. But you can see they're not looking for anything significant until late 2013. Next slide, please. On an annual basis, 2012 came in at 2.1% annualized GDP. You can see that they are expecting in December for 2013 to be a little bit weaker. But again, I think in February when the revisions are made, you're probably going to see a little bit of improvement. Next slide, please. Unemployment, everybody watches unemployment. We're expecting that when the numbers come out on Friday for January, that the unemployment rate will remain about 7.9%. As already mentioned, they're not expecting a huge number, but it's still going to be pretty positive. Next slide, please. As far as inflation is concerned, in this kind of an economy, you wouldn't expect inflation to be a concern, and as you can tell here, we think that things are going to be, or the economists think that things are going to be fairly stable, at least through 2013, as long as inflation remains in and around 2 to 2.5%. I would not expect the Fed to make any big changes in their short-term interest rates. Next slide, please. This is on an annualized basis, CPI and the core CPI. The difference between those numbers, CPI measures everything in the marketplace. Core CPI takes out food and energy, which the reason it takes it out is because those are two pretty volatile segments of the economy. So you get a better baseline when you look at core CPI. And you can see that things are expected to still remain pretty tame between the 2, 2.5 for some time. Next slide, please. So as we mentioned, there's still much uncertainty. We're looking at the U.S. budget. As you've probably heard, the debt ceiling was a big debate that was just recently going on. They have now shifted and allowed the debt ceiling to be exceeded until May. The reason they targeted May is that's when the budget begins on the federal level, and it'll be interesting to see how the budget debate goes and how all of this can be resolved. The global economic environment seems to be settling down a bit. Last time I met with you, things were looking pretty dire overseas, and now things are not quite as dire. They're still tiptoeing over there, but it's not taken center stage like it had been. Domestic job creation, as I mentioned, we're going to continue to watch that, and hopefully by year end of 2013, we're going to look a lot better than we look today. The credit and loan availability, the way I think we feel about the situation is there is a lot of pent-up demand, particularly in housing. When you start to see the lending free up a little bit, maybe they don't go back to the old days when they would loan to anybody, but once they begin to loosen a bit and go back to a normal standard, I think you're going to see that spark that we need to really start ginning forward. And then finally, the domestic housing market, again, pretty much linked to that lending scenario. If lending starts to improve, the housing market is going to improve significantly. We've already seen home values increase. They're up 10 to 12% from where they were this time a year ago. So if you have any questions, I'd be glad to entertain them.
Any questions?